Scott Howard Cooper can do whatever he wants in Sacramento. He owns the city. Local boy made good, NBA.com writer, one of the best writers in all the land, and he still makes time for dumb shows like ours. Scott, it's Dave, Katie, and Matt. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I am great. How are you guys?
No, we're doing good. I want to start out with a really important question for you, Scott.
Oh, no, which means it's not.
I'm going to give you $100,000.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Jeez.
But you only get... What?
No, don't even continue. Just
okay.
You only get to keep it if you're right. You have to pick one. Tomorrow at American River College, at their gym, Michael Jordan is going to play Lonzo Ball in a game of 1-on-1 to 11. Who do you put that $100,000 on?
The 2017 version, where we are today?
Today, Michael versus, not LeVar, Lonzo Ball.
Oh, Lonzo.
Okay, thank you. God, thank you, Scott. Yeah. I was so scared you were going to say the other thing. Thank you so much.
No, and you know what? And I'm a huge Michael fan.
Me too.
And if you had said LeVar, I would say I'll double down on
right,
that
right.
And take Michael. That would be no contest. But no, the 2017 Michael Jordan, I'd take the kid.
Yeah, 54-year-old. 67% of people online on Twitter, Scott, out of about 300 votes are saying they'd take Michael Jordan. I just wanted to make sure
As does Katie.
You know what? And that's the hate for the dad coming through.
Yeah, you know what though, Scott? Like, I don't want to waste time on this, but I will.
Neither.
I will say, we have been, seriously, Scott, we've been wasting time on this all freaking morning, and it is absolutely pointless. But Dave,
everyone spent way too much time talking about the family member of a certain draft prospect.
Yes.
For months, and it's unfortunate. And it's hurting the kid, and that's really unfortunate.
Let's explore that for a moment. Do you really feel like it is hurting Lonzo in terms of the upcoming draft on Thursday? I mean, we've talked to so many different people within the NBA that say no. It's not hurting him at all, maybe in the public opinion, but in terms of NBA front offices, it has no effect.
You're right. In terms of NBA front offices, it has zero effect. I think it's something that people have to talk about and front offices will consider, just the way you look at how a guy did, if he had any incidents in school, how he handled himself off the court, does he have any injury situations to deal with. It's a discussion that you have, but no, it's not. Nobody's going to say we're not taking him because of his dad. I think it does hurt the kid, though, in that it's putting so much more pressure, so much more of a negative spotlight than is necessary. And I happen to believe that one of the primary goals of a parent is to put your kid in the best position to succeed. And this is obviously not doing that. It's doing the opposite. So I think it hurts him in that regard. There's going to be so many people rooting against Lonzo Ball, who by all indication from people I've talked to and from people that the NBA teams have talked to and looking into him and his background, is a good guy who's very grounded, who is not looking for the spotlight for anything other than making a great pass or having a good game. He's a team player. He is nothing like his dad when he gets on the court or off the court. So I think it's hurting him in the public opinion, and that can be a difficult thing because making the jump into the NBA is difficult enough even under the most normal circumstances, and his dad is making this a very abnormal circumstance, and that's where it's a problem.
Scoop, I know it's early, not to put you on the spot. It's early in the day, and this just came out. Have you had a chance to see the Foot Locker commercial that just came out with Lonzo Ball?
I have not, and to be honest, I will not be running to see it, even though you pointed it out to me.
It is the greatest thing ever.
I would just simply, the reason I bring it into play is you make a phenomenal point about the difference between Twitter and writers and all that and actual general managers and what they put on LeVar Ball versus Lonzo Ball. Foot Locker commercial comes out. They've actually had a few over the years that are pretty funny. And this one has Jonathan Isaac, Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox. And then about 20 seconds in, Lonzo Ball, it's a Father's Day message. And they're talking about my dad taking me fishing, you know, was great. My dad showing up at every game was great and all this stuff. And there's nice music playing in the background. And then Lonzo Ball comes in and says, my dad telling, 29 out of 30 teams I won't work out for him. My dad...
Not to draft me.
My dad saying he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. My dad saying that...
Getting into it with my high school coach for not giving me the ball enough.
But the point being is that it's... I do think it's genius in the sense that Lonzo Ball becomes the focus of this commercial, and all he's doing, he's killing his dad. He's just trolling the hell out of his dad. So when it comes to, and you don't want to read too much into this stuff, of course, but when it comes to public perception, you think that's the type of thing that maybe would help Lonzo turn the corner when we start seeing his personality laugh at everything and maybe see that he is his own kid?
Yeah, I mean, so this was Lonzo himself?
Lonzo, not LeVar. It was Lonzo killing his dad, tongue-in-cheek, but just destroying him.
I think it sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yes.
It's good that people get to see who Lonzo is because of what I was just saying, that he is not his dad.
Sure.
This is someone, by all indications, is a good guy who is very, very much in control with reality, or very much connected to reality. But maybe I think something like that helps anyway, even if he doesn't do a commercial. He's going to come to the NBA. He's going to do the whole media tour from draft night when he's picked until the first days of training camp, and people will get a better look at him there. And he's going to have to answer all these questions when really the only questions he should be answering are, how are you going to fit into the offense? What's the jump going to be like from college to the pros? Do you think all the normal, you're going to fight for a starting job, all the normal basketball questions that all these other guys are going to be getting. I think that people will get to see Lonzo in that regard anyway. But sure, maybe if he's able to laugh at himself a little bit or laugh at the situation, that will help people understand. But I think it's just inevitable that it's going to be followed up by something from his dad, not necessarily with a commercial, but it's only a matter of, we've started the stopwatch until he does an interview with a large TV outlet pretty soon, right? That something else is going to come out. So I think it's time for Lonzo just to get on with it and not perpetuate this. And it's going to be coming up enough on its own. And I'll go back to what Katie said a few minutes ago, and I agreed with that. We've given this way too much time.
Scott Howard Cooper writes for NBA.com with us this morning. Scott, I was looking at your mock draft that you put out in mid-May this morning, and I have a two-part question for you. First, you have the Kings taking De'Aaron Fox with the 5th pick and Lauri Markkanen with the 10th pick. Is there anything, in your opinion, since that mid-May mock draft that you put out that could potentially change that, or you stick with those picks?
I'm actually going to have a new one in a couple days. Enough time has passed and the workouts have started. Mm-hmm. And I went over to EuroCamp a few days ago and got a lot of input and insights. And there has been some changes just because enough time has passed. I think that those are still realistic picks. If it turns out that way, I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. But I think that there will be a little bit of maneuvering. I don't think that Kings fans want to hear this.
Oh, no.
having judged, if I have an accurate judge based on emails, based on Twitter and everything, and hearing the talk shows on their rooting interest. But De'Aaron Fox is a possibility for number 5, but I think it's still, I think I would probably be moving him to number 3 or more likely number 4. So he could be there at 5. I think that right now, if I were to have him come out today, I would put him 4 to the Suns.
Well, and that's interesting, too, as well, because that changes kind of where I was going with the next question. But we have been kind of putting out the update today that he has worked out for the Suns in a group workout, but he has turned down an individual workout with the Phoenix Suns. Does that change anything for them, or does that really not matter in the whole scheme of things?
No, that may have been a matter of scheduling. Mm-hmm. That may have been a matter of he was at the group workout. Do we know? I don't know if we know any details. If you have seen any, let me know, because I hadn't. What did he do in the group workout? Was he part of the group, or did he do something? Was he in there behind in the gym behind closed doors with everybody, but only did maybe things off to the side and only was there for an interview and some one-on-none play where he showed he could take a pass from an assistant coach and hit an 18-footer.
Right.
Or that he was great at dribbling around cones or a chair that was placed on the court or something like that. And that is what often happens. But I know that he's interested in the Lakers at two. I know he's interested in the 76ers at three. And as I have reported, I know he's interested in the Kings at five. And this mm-hmm. was before the lottery had come out, that the Kings were a place that specifically appealed to him for several different reasons. So he would be happy to come here. I think he would be happier. It's just the competition factor in guys that the higher you go, the better you feel. So it's not like he says, I hope I'm there at five, that four teams pass on me. But I know he sees a lot of positives in this situation. So, it's still a possibility at five. It just seems to be the consensus among NBA teams that I talked to is that three or four now seems to be a little bit better bet.
Scott Howard Cooper of NBA.com joining us. As he said, 11 of the mock draft out in the next couple of days. For the record, Scott, you're my favorite person anyways, but I hope you're right. Getting Fox and Markkanen at 5 and 10, I think it would be a grand slam for this team. That being said, based on what you just talked about, it seems like so many of us here in Kingsland are so zeroed in on De'Aaron Fox. Are we maybe forgetting that if that means Jason Tatum or Josh Jackson is then going to quote unquote fall to five, do you look at that as a consolation prize, or could the Kings be getting somebody that they don't know how much they want?
Well, I think they know how much they want them. The Kings understand that Josh Jackson in particular and Jason Tatum as well understand that those are good players. I don't want to phrase it as consolation prizes, because a lot of teams would be thrilled to have those guys, and they're fits for the Kings in a lot of ways, especially somebody like Josh Jackson because of his defense. So it wouldn't be this big letdown, but De'Aaron Fox is a better player, and he's a better player for this team in particular. So in that regard, I think so. I have him number five right now only because when you look at how the top five played out, the 76ers, I thought, had a stronger need for small forward than point guard, and the exact same thing with the Phoenix Suns. So I went small forward there, and that's the only reason De'Aaron Fox lasted to number five. If I were to do a top 60 in order of best prospects, I would have De'Aaron Fox at three at the worst, and maybe even at number two ahead of Ball. I think Ball and Fox are pretty close with a slight edge to Ball.
Well, and obviously the news coming out yesterday making it official that Rudy Gay has opted out of his contract with the Kings. To me, two of the most up-in-the-air positions for the Kings going into this draft and going into this offseason with free agency is the point guard position, because you have no idea what's going on with Darren Collison or Ty Lawson, and also small forward position. Who in this draft do you think that could be available at 5 and 10 would fill those spots? Do they draft that way? Or do you take best player available and then use it as a piece and then sign through free agency?
Yeah, it's essentially best player available when you have so many needs. If the best player available is a shooting guard, I just don't know why you do that. I don't think that
right.
You say we're drafting a backup, or we're drafting somebody that maybe can eke out our best player for the starting job. So I think everybody says best player available, but there's also you have to put a practical application mm-hmm. in there. In the case of the Kings in 2017, yeah, you can go best player available, because there's the only possible shooting guard there is Malik Monk, and there's a lot of other guys who are better than Malik. So I think that they do address those positions because those are areas of need, and also because that's how things break, that the best players in those spots are probably going to be point guard and small forward. And not only that, but at 5 and 10, there are scenarios where the Kings could come away with both. I think that the development with Rudy is nothing major.
Mm-hmm.
It does not greatly impact this draft, I guess is what I should say. It's certainly major for the team moving forward. But it does not greatly impact this draft, because I think they would look hard at small forward anyway. It just would have made cutting ties with Rudy easier In fact, they looked hard at small forward last year. Jaylen Brown had still been on the board, they would have taken Jaylen and looked to move, and that would have started the clock on the departure of Rudy Gay last summer. So this is something that's really a continuation of what's been going on for a year. But yes, it's possible that they could do point guard at five or small forward at 10, and whichever position they don't get, you can circle back at number 10. Whatever you don't get at five, there's a possibility that that position would be there at number 10. It's just not an automatic that you would go there. If there's different scenarios that maybe there's a small forward on the board at 10, and you say, yeah, he could be good, but we think that Lauri Markkanen could be really good, for example, or Zach Collins could be really good. I think there's that you have enough need at other positions that you don't automatically say, whatever, we don't get at five, we're going to do at 10.
Scoop, then if you're looking at just simply team fit, is it possible that it could be a blessing in disguise? Obviously, Fox is fantastic, and from all we hear, the Kings are very high on him. But if Fox gets taken earlier than five, as we said, that means in all likelihood either Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum, both small forwards, and Jonathan Isaac, if you want to put him up there, will be available at the three. And then you're likely to have Frank Ntilikina from France available, maybe a Dennis Smith. So when it comes to team need, are they almost better off getting a three at five and then picking one of those guys at 10? Are they going to come away with a better combined two picks for team need there?
No, you're always better getting the better player.
Sure.
And if De'Aaron Fox is better than Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum, you're better off getting De'Aaron Fox. So I don't agree with that logic, but I do agree that the night can still work out very well, even if you don't get De'Aaron Fox, because the conversation we just had was that you get, so if you go small forward at five, and let's say that if De'Aaron Fox are under some crazy situation, Lonzo Ball are both gone, and I think that is possible. If you end up with Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum at five, you're not crying the night away. And that's a good pick. Those are players that there's a lot of reason to believe can help you. And then, yes, you still have the possibility of coming back and getting your point guard at number 10. It's just that chances that your chances go down. There's a possibility that Orlando goes point guard at six. I don't think so.
Sure.
I think Malik Monk is more likely, but it's a possibility. And then the Knicks at eight and the Mavericks at nine, both obviously will be looking point guards. So if you say you get small forward at five and right after the pick, you're saying we're in great position to get a point guard at 10, that's not really obvious. That's a tough road to get when you get from six, seven, eight, nine to still have one of your point guards there that you really like when eight and nine both are looking point guard as well. So I don't think that's such an obvious outcome. And by the way, thank you for mentioning Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah.
And not just because you're the biggest Florida State honk I know. because that's a name when we talk about players is probably one of the more under the radar guys.
Yep.
He has not gotten a ton of attention. Can play. I think if Minnesota, for example, were to take him because you have Andrew Wiggins, at the Timberwolves would most likely try him at power forward. But that's one of the great things is his versatility. If you get Jonathan Isaac at 6, 7, 8, 9, and certainly if he's on the board at 10 and somebody ends up with him, that's a guy that NBA fans may not know much about, but NBA teams really like.
I don't know if there's a more intriguing guy in the draft than Jonathan Isaac. And yeah, you mentioned I'm an FSU honk accurately, and I've watched a ton of his play. So I'll ask you the same thing I've asked other people that know what they're talking about. He seems to be in no man's land when it comes to the Kings. Five might be a reach. 10's going to be way too low. But I've heard people come on the station and say he's a top three prospect, that he could be the best player in this draft when it's all said and done. Now, Scott, watching him at Florida State, his biggest attribute I see in these breakdowns is his defense. No doubt he's a good defender. Part of what worries me, though, is that Leonard Hamilton is one of the best defensive coaches in college basketball. Not a lot of people know about that FSU program. Does that worry you at all, that Hamilton's system kind of helps Isaac in this case, or do you think he's going to be able to transfer that talent to the NBA?
No, I think that translates. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as a drawback at all. And I would also make the point that at five is not a great reach.
Sure.
It's just I would say that don't get caught up in the mock drafts too much, that because nobody has him there, that it's a reach. I don't think anybody does have him there, but I think a lot of people have him at 6 or 7, 7 or 8. So if you're picking 5, and just because that there seems to be a lot of feedback that this guy should be picked at 6, I don't think that that's a reach at all. I haven't gotten the read that he's in the top 3 among prospects.
Right.
Other people obviously have, based on what you've been reading. I don't put him in the top 3, but if somebody were to say he's the 5th or 6th or 7th best prospect, yeah, that's not crazy. Again, I wouldn't. I haven't seen anybody put him in the top 5 in the draft, but I've seen plenty of people put him in at 6 and 7, and especially at 7 to Minnesota. So if the consensus, if a lot of people have him at 7, and I think that's where I may end up putting him in my next one, if he goes up 2 picks, I don't know that's such a crazy reach.
Scott Howard Cooper writes for NBA.com. As he said earlier in the interview, we'll have a new mock draft coming out in the next couple of days. Always appreciate your insight, and I'm sure we'll talk right before the draft. Thank you so much, Scoop.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
Take care. That's Scott Howard Cooper. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we got some sound for you, including something we played earlier in the program. We mentioned it with Scott Howard Cooper.
Best thing you're going to hear all day.
It is the best thing you're going to hear all day. It's a Foot Locker commercial with De'Aaron Fox, Jason Tatum, Jonathan Isaac, and Lonzo Ball. 2 minutes away on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK.